This episode is brought to you by Clouseau. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Clouseau. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Clouseau will instantly transform it into a studio quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Clouseau handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Clouseau makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at Clouseau.io. That's Clouseau.io.
Welcome to C-Lab, where we put the C in customer education, also the E, and there's an A as well. What's not there? The L and the B. What does that mean? Pounds. What are pounds? British currency. And currency is what customer education is all about. I'm your co-host, Adam Avramescu.
Now I'm your co-host, Dave Darrington, and welcome again to episode 150.
Wow.
150. We made it.
There are some podcasts that get there in 150 days. I like to say that we have done quality over quantity.
Months? Years? No.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Years.
We're into 6 years, so that's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty amazing.
If our podcast was a child, that child would be lingual, could do like basic math.
Ugh. All that time? Crazy.
Yeah. Well, here we are. And Dave, 150 is always a chance to reflect, big numbers, big round numbers. But we didn't just want to, talk about the show and turn inward in that way. We wanted to take a moment to do something that was personal yet useful. Because, right. One of the things that we do on this show is that we try to highlight the journeys of different customer education professionals through their careers. And every once in a while, those customer education professionals are us.
Yeah, we've done this several times. Actually, this has been the whole foundation, right? Bring other people on. We talk about our journey. We talk about our transition. And the thing that I really appreciate more than anything is that what we're doing is bringing context to the journey where we and others in our network are experiencing this elephant, blind people with the elephant. What does it look like from different angles, different sizes, different orgs, different times, different industries? Mm-hmm. And documenting that journey, I think, is important because it teaches us a few things. What's gotten us here? What's challenged us? And where we're going to go next? And like right now, I'm looking at my new position, which we'll talk about a little bit, and use as that substrate, that basis. Say, oh, okay, well, you transitioned into Personio, which is a really big role, and all the thing, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
We're looking now at Atlassian. I'm in a position where I'm seeing all that as well, and part of a big team. And we talk about all that whole experience and some of the things that are important now.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners who, work at companies of various sizes, but it builds a lot of empathy to be able to look at, if I work at a startup, for instance, what does customer education look like at a much larger org? If I'm primarily serving SMB, what does it look like to serve enterprise? If I'm in North America, what is it like to serve Europe? And, it's difficult, I think, unless you've had multiple at-bats, so to speak, which for my European colleagues and those who don't have baseball, we mean the number of opportunities you've had, the number of rounds of experience. See, I'm finally, after 3 years,
finally
learning to
here.
Like check my weird Americanisms.
That's good.
The more rounds you've had of doing that, the more you can pattern match and the more you can understand, there's not just one playbook, but like which parts of the playbook do I take and adapt based on my org size, my team scope, the qualities of my learner personas, my customers, all of those things. So I'd love to take the opportunity to talk about that with you now that you're entering an org of a different size than, you know, I think. Have you ever worked at an org of this size before, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Much larger, actually. And I used to work for, well, going back
in
to
customer, in customer education, I should clarify.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
I know you were a research scientist.
But yeah, well, and I worked for, it was Mallinckrodt Pharmaceuticals at the time, which became part of a 100,000 person org. I mean, it was massive.
Which is nuts. So, but like,
I'm no stranger to corporate.
For instance. Yeah. No. I'm not implying that you weren't. But in a customer education role, I mean, you and I had similar journeys in the sense that we were working at much smaller orgs. I was at Optimizely and Checker. You were at Gainsight and Azuqua, and like those orgs were like similar.
Yeah, some were big
sizes,
small.
Right? Kind of in the like mm-hmm. 100, a few hundred. And then I went to Slack, and then that was my first taste of an org north of 1,000 employees. And Personio is the same. And when Slack got acquired by Salesforce, then all of a sudden I was seeing what does this look like with tens of thousands of employees, and it's an eye opener.
Right.
So I mean,
that's interesting because we've kind of niched down and come up. Other people in our network have been in different places in different times. I think it's really interesting. So you were saying?
Well, I was just saying, let's frame it up. Let's get into it because I want to talk about your experiences. And the thing that you were kind of pointing at, you know, if we can frame up a hypothesis here, is like, what does customer education look like at a large, more mature org that we don't necessarily right. think about when we primarily worked earlier stage? So do you want to posit a hypothesis?
Yeah. The hypothesis, this was a roughish one, but laid it out over the last couple of days, is that, you know, there is no necessarily clear start nor end to this function, this world that we call customer education. And it fluidly can map to different, I like what you said as you were leading into this, and I think that's really important. There's no one playbook.
And anyone who tells you there is lying or naive.
Or, and that goes back to the multiple opportunities or Americanized at-bats, where our perspective or perception of what we are to do changes over time in those different contexts.
Yeah, like if you've only done one thing in your career and you've done it really successfully, then it seems like that's probably the one way to do it. But in reality, like the more you do it, the more you realize, okay, this worked really well for me at company A, it doesn't work at company B. But like, with that said, let's kind of get into this idea of customer education starting and ending, right? Because like, I would say that's an uncontroversial hypothesis because most functions, once they start, do not end. You know, like
well, you say any, that.
Yeah,
I want to push back a little bit.
Push back. No, push back. Then I'll set you straight.
I love this. Like I'm gonna.
No, well, Dave, I'm right, but I'm just like let's get there.
Yeah, it's that I think the context we have. I love you're smiling on this. It's hilarious. It's
I'm having fun.
Keep it up because this is something that I think happens. We were riffing them on LinkedIn earlier, right? About LinkedIn and you know our social media in general and how things swell and fall and whatever. But one of the things that when we were talking about leading into this is that concept of playbook. It's really easy in the startup world, which both of us fell into, but we've been in other areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you think, oh my God, no, this so makes sense. It's just this one way, right? And the point I'm trying to get to or evoke is that, okay, when you fall into this, okay, outreach was a great example for me, where you have this idea, this space, this thing that seems new and novel. And then you kind of get this whole, okay, well, this is the way it's done. Customer education is not that. It is a function that has that forward, outward facing experience. It doesn't subsume everything and it changes over time. what I said, there's no real clarity on where that begins or ends, or I think even more appropriately, how we apply different educational approaches changes so dramatically over time. But if you look just in the context of, hey, I'm in a startup, it is a playbook. I come in, I do these things. But then there's that space and that maturity as you move into larger and larger and different kinds of organizations and industry. That clarify a little bit more about what I'm saying.
No, I think I get what you're saying. And like, maybe if I can walk around that for a moment, you're saying that there are some fields where, like, obviously, even though there are nuances to them based on the companies in which they're placed, there is almost a playbook for what best in class looks like. They're not only very mature, but they don't vary that much in terms of what they look like done at scale. Whereas customer education, when you say no start or end, or no clear start or end, by start, I mean, I think we mean the same thing, which is that there's not like one point between when you have your random like CSM or support agent or whoever it is doing training or like random people in marketing creating videos. And then when you have like an actual thing called customer education, that's a little bit porous and a little bit arbitrary. And we agree on that, but like no end, you also mean there's not like one accepted maturity point where it's like, when I hit customer education maturity stage 4, my org is going to look like this.
Yeah, I don't think that really exists.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and like we want to be like
other world out here.
Yeah, and I would be curious to learn a little bit about what you're doing at Atlassian, for instance, because there was this perception, I think, for years that at some point, if you matured your customer education program, it would become a profit center, revenue generating P&L education services. It would align to professional services practices. And that was like the way to do it. Whereas now we're seeing customer education teams being built out of marketing teams, product teams. We're seeing them aligned to digital and scaled CS and CX initiatives. And my understanding actually, because like, you know, we know a little bit about Atlassian's programs over the years and how they've evolved and changed, like you're actually doing customer education in a different way. And in fact, Atlassian is a good example of actually having made some very intentional decisions over the past years to make large portions of the catalog free, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, it's amazing.
Like, bring me inside that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a really good setup. So yeah, like one of the things I want to say about this moment in time for me, just as a person, is that I've done a lot of different things in my career, but around the time when you and I met and we started really saying, hey, this is a place we want to explore, that was the start of a journey where I intentionally went place to place to place to place, right? Grow, 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 learn, learn, learn. Now I feel real humble and real happy to be part of a fabric of people that are doing educate, where they're bringing education, let's change the word, learning forward up. Mm. And that talk about everything you've just said, like, I love how like you put context to that journey where, yeah, we kind of come up here to the point, we have an education program, but somehow it turns into a P&L, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes that also spreads out even further where you have L&D picking up things and enablement picking up things. But I'm not seeing that here. And I haven't seen that in some other companies where now we're seeing this real team play across the entire org, which that's what drew me into this kind of a role where, wow, we're working with customer success and product and marketing and, you know, support and all these different facets of the organization in a lot more. Sometimes in customer ed, I felt kind of oppositional and kind of on the rails, and now it's more fluid. And what I like to do is kind of share some of the top level things that I can share, you know, work on that are real obvious. Like what you just said about transitioning to free. I was huge. Yeah. I was huge for this company. And One thing that really caught my attention early on is that one of my teammates is, and I'll just mention Kevin Lee. He's done a podcast series with, what we call it, Atlassian. Oh, I should know this off the top of my head, but it's all about like real people using the platform in a real micro form and out on social media. And it's all connecting back to the ATP program, which is the Atlassian, you know, partner training ecosystem. And then our enterprise work and how are we going to expand to millions? I'm not saying millions of users. We're going after hundreds of millions of active users in this space. It was almost unimaginable to even think about that kind of a scope for a platform and the learning that goes into that. And then it's like, well, how do we really advance our instructor-led program? Hey, that's coming back into the picture while our stuff in smaller companies in customer ed is talking about scaled digital success, you know, and how we make those motions more fast and on demand and self-service. Yet now we're indexing back to say, okay, well, we've got all that. But how do we come back to the personal? You and I are talking together, right? And I really want to go deep. And that means, well, I'll go consume this content, but then how do I structure that in a massive enterprise topology where I'm coming in and helping organizations with 10,000 seats over time? And that's the space I'm in right now, which is like this, I've been in a big lake, right? You know, now I'm in a big ocean and going, wow. And for me, that's so exciting to see. And I think to set this up is that I also feel completely part of the team, right? It's that we're all a team moving together and we're all thinking about learning a very similar way. And we're not really, the siloing is kind of gone.
Yeah. So I think there's really fertile grounds for us to talk about here. You mentioned, I guess, first of all, some of the ways that Atlassian is doing learning, not just training, not just education, let's say learning.
Learning. That's hard.
Across many different teams. It's unsiloed. You were kind of pointing at that a moment ago. And like one thing that I always find fascinating walking into a new role or even, you know, from time to time having someone hit me up and say, hey, you know, I'm starting a new customer education leadership role, or like I'm trying to hire for a customer education leadership role. How should we think about this? And like, it depends on one hand, but the it depends is not a completely unanswerable question. Like you sort of have to start by thinking about like, what are the characteristics of my org and like, what are other products, companies, et cetera, that I can look at that have similar characteristics. So I can either model off of that or I can like understand from first principles in some cases what I should be doing. So Atlassian, you know, large distributed company. That's so we can take that as one
they're
fact.
Remote first too, which
remote
is
remote first. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably going to have more to do with how you collaborate internally with people than like what type of learning you offer. But yeah, maybe even then like thinking about, okay, you might not have as much access to like bringing people into a studio or things like that.
Yeah.
What else? What else can we say about Atlassian? It's a relatively horizontal product.
Right.
I think about Slack having very similar characteristics. Like Slack and Atlassian, they're used by so many different types of teams for so many different things. And on one hand, there's like a technical depth to the product because you can customize it to do various things for you. But like the real challenge is knowing how you need it set up for your organization or your team. So there's like the consulting and use case layer that has to happen to be successful with a horizontal product like that.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got a bunch of end users out there who might be using Atlassian as part of their orgs, but they're kind of learning independently. So you need different surfaces like YouTube, et cetera. So like, tell me about how all of that informs, I guess, like the way that your team is set up and the types of programs that you're offering.
Yeah, that is it's complicated and it's really interesting because we have all the bones, right? When you think about,
you sound a little bit like a serial killer. Got all the bones.
Got all the bones. Ooh.
No. Got all the bones, but you're never going to find them.
I'm not going to get Captain Crunch, you know, serial killer.
What? Okay.
Oh, man. You know, that the depth here, I'll go back to what you're talking about. One of the things that's caught my attention here is the concept of a system of work, where we have a like all these different applications. The ones you know mostly will be Jira, would be Confluence, right? But there's a lot more under that. And the industry we support
used
is
to be HipChat until Slack came along.
Yeah, well, everybody, we've adopted Slack. It's all integrated.
Yes, you have.
Use Jira.
Yes,
and do all. I mean, when the thing that I think profoundly excites me and it helped me unlock what you were talking about, you know, we've got a huge end user pool of people like, well, what is this thing and how do I do it? Well, there's also a diversity of maturity in how long have I been in this job? How do I know my field? What are the tools we're using? Gen Zers are coming in and going, what the heck is this? You know, and that's the YouTube piece. It's a system of work. And when you see that in motion, and the thing that's like been really remarkable to me coming into this, to see it all in concert, this orchestration of the tool that we dog food ourselves, right? It's cool. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know I could do things like that. And wow, that just really works to fluidly get all of our things lined up. And I know where to go to share things. And I know how to, like I was looking at Confluence the other day. I'm not like trying to say a love affair for the platform, but it's this diversity and this rich canvas of things that I have what I need to do my work in so many different ways.
Yeah. Like you're actually set up with using Atlassian's own suite of tools. So in a way you're like,
right.
When you have a horizontal product like that, like take it, let's contrast you with like a company like Procore or something like that, right? They're doing like construction management software. Procore is probably not going to be their own biggest and best customer because they themselves are not doing construction. What they are constructing is a SaaS product. Whereas when your product is actually about getting collaborative work done, especially, you know, in an environment that easily translates, like you can have the best Confluence environment. You can have the best Jira. You can have the best way that all those tools interact with each other. And in a way, it's like very difficult, actually, I think, to help your customers understand the art of the possible with your product if you aren't also living that. Like that was certainly true at Slack. Like I think at Slack, we had the best Slack setup. And
yeah,
that almost like osmosed its way into the way that we would train customers because almost intuitively, we could share things that had worked for us. We only had to combat the, you know, the curse of knowledge around, you know, having already
gotten ourselves to
that stage of setup and not like starting from the beginning. So I'm sure that's a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely a challenge. Like coming into this and, you know, I want to scroll back a little bit and thank two people, Adam Yu for referring me here and Erica Cool as well.
Erica Cool.
Between the two of you, you know, I am really thankful and I appreciate you and I appreciate all of those that I interviewed with and talked with. And so, okay, that's was really important first because, you know, like I'm going to answer your question here in a second, but this is the space I want to be. And those of you out there who are like us, where we're navigating through this really complicated world with, you know, AI and all these other things. We're unique. We're here to bring together learning and all this other stuff, but we're also techie and we're also like working in these big companies and we're learning a lot. So
yeah, so I mean,
again,
let's
thank you for that.
Let's come back to the offerings in a moment. Like you're talking a little bit about how you came into this role. Like, why don't we start there? Tell me about the role. Like,
okay, here's the role. So my official title is Senior Manager of Learning Solutions and Programs. And I'm like, wow, that's a neat position. Tell me more. And this is where I got talking with my manager, Marshall. Hello, Marshall, and the team. And
hi, Marshall.
It's like that strategic piece that's in the center of your learning function, where you're able to look across, you're talking about a horizontal, you know, like look across all of these platforms and programs that are already there and working and doing well. And that's what's really interesting. Things are working. We're at that level of maturity where we talk to and let in about, okay, well, what are all these things that we do? We're there. from what I would have thought.
Often when you're like thinking about a program, you sort of think about that capability maturity model where things go from like ad hoc to, what is it? Ad hoc to repeatable.
Yeah.
To defined.
Scaling. Yeah.
Or defined to repeatable. I don't remember what order those come in.
Yeah, no, it's like ad hoc to then we have kind of a playbook. To
repeatable, now, yeah. So like you can do the thing that you were doing ad hoc over and over. Then it's defined, so it's like written down.
Correct.
And then it's scalable so that like the thing that was defined can be done at different levels of scale. And then there's like optimized. So like you're joining at a, like often when right you and there. I are joining a company, it's like at ad hoc or repeatable. But like now you're joining at like a much more mature state.
Performing and scaling.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's that and like?
It's neat. It's like. The only thing comes to mind right now is this. Imagine you're hiking up a mountain, right? And you got some good ones in Europe, and I could go to a Rainier or whatever here, and you're getting further and further up the top, and it's a lot of work, right? And you're seeing things, and you have to climb. You have to put this into place and that into place to be able to grow and scale. And you get to the top, and you go, it's like there's another mountain, right? It's, wow, I look out over the vista, now there's so much more to do and so much further to go because you're looking now. Okay, getting into my role, it's a strategic role. Imagine, and I'm not going to get into all the internal guts, but just talk at a high level of why I think this is interesting. So imagine going from a place where you have 100,000 users to 100 million users. Okay, what's 100? That's a country.
C-Lab is proudly sponsored by Thought Industries. They've got a super robust tech platform to run your customer ed program, and they've built a think tank and community. Just look, they've released the Customer Education Playbook, a definitive book on customer ed for practitioners. They've released frameworks like maturity models, assessments, and toolkits, and they've got great community events like the Cognition Conference, roundtables, and discussion forums. But of course, there's also the tech-forward platform. Thought Industries has developed a headless solution to allow for heavy customization and has a multi-tenant architecture built to scale custom learning portals to your client base to deliver personalized learning for different roles and groups. Check out Thought Industries as you grow and evolve your program, especially if you're doing things like adding paid subscriptions, using free or freemium learning in your marketing strategy, integrating your learning data into your org's overall data strategy, or learning data to prove ROI. Check them out at thoughtindustries.com and tell them C-Lab sent you.
Yeah, I mean, that requires a level of scale. Yeah.
Right. So now we have all these programs. Like we have our partner training program, ATP, and we have certification underlying that. And we have like all this array of people that can do different things. We've got an amazing, I can't even say all the things. We've got community. We've got instructional design teams. We've got, and we're all under this community and learning. Yeah.
Can we talk really about cool. that for a moment? Like before we kind of get
we're
a little bit
having
deeper
to, like,
into
peel off layers of the onion, aren't we? This is really cool.
Well, yeah, because like we'll talk about you, we'll talk about your scope, we'll talk about your team scope, the offerings, there's a bunch of stuff we could talk about, but like that part about having community and learning and possibly even I don't know exactly how your team is set up, some other digital interfaces all connected. Maybe you could tell me about that in a moment, but like that's obviously a trend that we're seeing more of, where you have these teams coming together because ultimately they can produce very like synergistic results because community and learning are not, they're not connected, especially when you're thinking about the types of outcomes that they produce for customer success and for marketing teams. So I'm curious, like how are these working together in your org, and like what role are you playing maybe in interfacing between the learning and community side?
Yeah, we've got so much to talk about. We've only got a half an hour. what I find really interesting is that under my leadership, we have we're in marketing for one, which is novel.
Yeah.
Like, we're in marketing. So that has a different flavor of everything because the marketing team is always like, hey, we're thinking about that customer. We're thinking about new. We're thinking about current. We're thinking about all of these different things together. Community and learning is a large group within that function in the marketing team, where, of course, we have the community platform and we're doing everything from physical live events, roadshow kinds of things, to on-demand to our community platform. And that's all integrated with our learning programs, right? Because you're using community to do cohorts, and we're getting people all working together.
Yeah.
Certification is a whole big pillar underneath that, where we go really deep. And this is really serious, you know, high stakes cert, but all the way down to the low badging program.
Right? Yeah. And, well, and it's interesting, right? Because I think like I remember at least talking to some of the folks, you know, from like Atlassian University, it was called Atlassian. Yeah. Like years ago when it was still very much an education services, training services, P&L. They were doing a lot of like custom paid training, instructor led courses, certifications. And I mean, at the time that was also like, that's a very common setup, but Atlassian sort of made the decision then, I guess, to reconstitute that. And I don't know if it was under marketing before, but usually services org isn't. So like, do you know, do you have context on that? Like why Atlassian ultimately chose to reorg learning into marketing and put it with community?
You know, that I think that's a follow-up where I'm going to reach out to my peers and folks in leadership here to try to set that up for a discussion in the future. I'd really like to know.
Yeah. But then like maybe not even like having the context necessarily on like how they got from there to here, like with this new org that you have together, like what is the reason for being under marketing? Are you bringing together communities and helping people learn because that ultimately builds the market for Atlassian to land and expand into more organizations?
Yeah, for sure.
Is that kind of the main reason?
Well, I mean, you think about it like this. It's, I think Marshall was talking about it to me in the context of bringing learning forward across all of everything, right? Trying to, like, we at events, how much learning is going on and how do we recontextualize that experience? On social, how do we engage people at scale on YouTube? When we even talk TikTok, but how do we get into the areas where people are not necessarily at work directly, but adjacent, right? Because if you see the Atlassian Explain videos that Kevin made, the first video went out was when the last time I saw it, 400,000 views.
Yeah, and you're just operating at a completely different level of scale again. And right, that's actually like, that maybe that's another thing like worth... And marketing gets reach for those types of things. But like maybe the other important point when, again, we kind of talk about this idea of know your business, know your audience is Atlassian is like, while Atlassian has like a big like enterprise customer base, it also has its roots in being like a PLG company, right? It's like, it's product like growth. Atlassian famously did not have a sales team for forever. Maybe still doesn't. I don't know. But like, in a way, if you are going to build like an army of advocates who are highly skilled on the platform and are going to bring Atlassian into other organizations, like basically winning loyal customers, admin by admin, architect by architect, et cetera, that is actually like a strong marketing pillar for a business like Atlassian's.
Absolutely. Right. And I guess it's interesting to tag in my journey, how I came in through Service Rocket, where I guess over the last 2 or 3 years, where, you know, I'd gone to Gainside Azuqua Outreach in that journey, and then went to Service Rocket. And now I'm in that world where I'm actually was the partner. I was the other side of the table, engaging with customers and helping to get them deploy instances and manage their instances of, you know, Confluence and Jira and the whole stack. And when I think about now, I'm in a marketing team, and it's so natural because we're really able to see across both prospects and future, but also everybody that's part of our ecosystem today. So it's kind of a larger scope. Whereas, you know, we might get in a learning team, and then we might be in a services mindset. So we're really just, you know, what do you call it? You know, we're really servicing. We're reacting. You need training, we're reacting. This isn't that. This is now talking about how we promote and how we engage people in a learning conversation, no matter where they are.
Which means that in a way, like all of your programs, like whether you're talking about doing scalable stuff on YouTube or whether you're mm-hmm. talking about doing partner training, like these are all channels ultimately for Atlassian channels, to grow. Yeah. So in a way, like every training program you have or every learning modality you have it's a way of getting distribution by building competency.
Yep. Yep. Cool. And that to go a little further, you asked before about my remit, where I'm focusing. Yeah. So one is our stack, right? Our learning stack, the LMS, the tools we use, how we get, you know, how do we move information around? How are we going to get content into the platform itself? How are we going to scale that content out into different channels, to different systems, right? And then mm-hmm. there's the instructor-led facet, where it's really, really important to be with people in real time, virtually. But how do I make that a better experience that you want through learning labs, right? Through events, you know, a lot of the times at Atlassian Teams and other events we do, you want to be there to do like a day of learning, like a lot of companies do. But and we do certification on site. You know, you can be there, we can prep. We've got prep courses for that now. How does that all map into the enterprise level with these big, so I'm part of that enterprise program, which is a really big initiative, right?
Yeah.
The partner training program, which wraps around all of that. But then there's the social part of, so I see this as a stack where if we're pursuing 100 million active users, what are all the learning that goes under that has to appeal to so many different people in so many different ways that what I'm excited for and what I'm looking at doing is how do you build these things at scale, building, you know, with all of these different teams across an org, you know, working with CSMs to show, hey, I've got this really new cool program and how do we fluidly work between you and make your day easier, but yet bring our customers into a bigger conversation or at an event. What more things can we do to really open up and have this really engaging experience? Or I'm at a big company now and we're launching Atlassian for, like I said, 10,000 people. What does that even look like? And how do we do that? And that's like its own universe, right? So that's my remit, is to strategically work with the teams and the tools, the amazing people that we've got working here. Hello, everybody on the team. I'm not going to mention everybody's name today, but it's so cool to be working with such smart people that have so many vast experiences that are all kind of drawing together from different worlds, right? And yeah. we're all aligned to do that, but that's where it gets really hard, because now we have to take the mature programs, kind of maybe even gut them, maybe even convert them. But that's the good work that we're doing now, right? It's got a great program and now it's going next level. What does that even look like? So this is the next maturity cycle for what I think I formerly thought as customer education being a very linear, do this, do it. Well, it's not linear. That's baloney. It's always been multi-threaded, but it's more simple when you're in a smaller.
Like one maturity model.
Right.
What are some of the things that you have to do coming into a role like this to like assess the portfolio or figure out like, okay, we need to get to the next stage of maturity. We need to figure out what that even means. Like, how do I look at what we're doing? How do I make decisions and proposals? I'm sure there's a lot of like navigating collaboration with other parallel teams. Like, tell me about that. How do you do that?
Well, if I knew, no, I have an idea and
you're getting paid to know.
Yeah, I'm getting paid to know. Right. No, but seriously, I think if I were, I'm going to ask you a sub question on this to get more clarity. But I think what you're asking is, this is an actionable thing for our audience, right? What are the foundational things that you can do to prepare you for a role similar to this, which is, you know, we're all pursuing something in our career. You know, the things that have really helped me have been, well, this last year was a really hard year for me, just transparently and vulnerably, because I, for the first time in my career, was out of my own swimming, right? I had to take all experiences that we've generated together to say, how do I look at something? And a lot of the times I was going into an organization, not of this scale, but very, very large organizations. And now you're looking in a consultative motion. I think that's what helps first. I've been a trained enterprise consultant. You know, what does that mean? It's a lot of things, but it's more having a very clear strategic view of what the goal is. And like, and then, okay, well, who are the people? So it's first learn what I'm here to do. I already talked about that. Now it's one of the skills that I've developed over the years is that, you know, the ability to independently and with my own autonomy, reach out to people and find the right ones to talk to. A lot of times asking, hey, who do I go talk to? But more than that, you've got an org chart and all those other things, and you've seen people online. And when you know who are the right people are, like in CS, it's a massive org. Who do I talk to in that org? Well, there's a few people that I want to work with. So learning how to navigate and use those systems and not be afraid to reach out and talk to somebody, that's one really being motivated to talk to people and knowing what you're here to do, right? What are other things? From a consultative mindset, it's really good to have kind of a playbook. And I do, but my playbook, Adam, to what we were talking about before, is not a linear playbook. It is a tapestry of different actions that I could bring to the table. One being like, okay, hey, we need to go look at our partner program and where we can improve upon it. Now that assumes a, okay, I would come in and what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to meet with people, sure, but I'm going to meet with the partners. I'm going to meet with our customers of the partners. I'm going to meet with our team and in a relation with that. So I now have playbooks where I can go, okay, here's the playbook. Here's a survey with incisive questions that are going to get us where we want to meet the strategic goal. That's all the thing that I run with, right? It's now I know how to execute that at scale. I've been doing that for a year. And then I think the fact that I've been in so many different companies and I'm able to like more quickly see patterns, right? Oh, I see that you're doing this, but have you thought about this or this? So now I can like actually go deeper and peel back layers because I've done all the different kinds of things in educational interventions before. I don't know if you want to go deeper, but those are like, that's the high level. It's that I feel like I'm prepared. And if the audience, in our audience, what are the things that you're doing to go next level? It's think about program level stuff at a high level. Strategically, what are those calls to action or what are those APIs we're tracking? You know, being able to come in with that and quickly get that will allow you to hit the ground running pretty quick. Because then you go, okay, I know where I can dump in and I know what my skills are. You know, there's also something in there that it's not about you or me or the role. It's about how we fit into the fabric of people using their diverse skill sets and their, you know, their strengths and accommodating for their weaknesses. And that's the cool thing about having such, and I'm intentionally talking about diversity because I think it's really important. Having people with really strong competencies across the board makes it such that I can go, look, I'm good at this and I'm part of a team, right? So I can come in and not have to freak out and be all stressed out because I don't have to do everything. Now I can share what I know and team members can do what they need to do, all working together a lot more quickly than it would be if I was just on my own.
Yeah. And like, so that, yeah, that is what I'm getting at. And maybe even to like push this a little bit further, we started this conversation talking about maturity and the idea that, you know, like even when you come into a mature organization, there are still things that you need to do to continue to optimize it over time or to like bring it to the next level. Right. Because like mature organization, mature doesn't necessarily mean like we're done. Right. This was your point about starting and ending that I'm now.
That's really what I talk about.
That's what I'm now really coming to understand. And so like if you think about maturity as a continuum, then like tell me more about the things that you're looking at and that you're evaluating, like when you think about, you know, the possible futures for the programs that you're now responsible for.
Okay. Let me peel apart a few different areas. And then you can cut into that a little bit more. So I like what we're talking about. Maturity, again, for the audience, we have a maturity model that we've used. I've had one that I've used, and I'll tap Bill Cashard as a person that I thought really did a good, very simple, very straightforward approach. You know, there's four steps, you know, Basically crawl, walk, run.
Friend now of the imagine, show, Bill Cashard.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. Forget about all that, right? We're done. We're there. Basically, we've gotten to a plateau, and that plateau means we have a learning platform. People know how to find it. We have programs like certification that help people to understand what really needs to, what you really need to learn, and to make that have meaning, a badge, a cert, you know, whatever. We have an approach to all of these different kinds of learning. We have an academy that's really performant and great. We have now the ability to take content from there and distribute that in different channels like in-app, right? We have a community program, which is very rich and diverse and has a lot of aspects to it. We have a lot of live training experiences where you can go to an event. You know, so we're there. Now what? Well, now it's a matter of how do we take that even further where, okay, yeah, we have an advanced training program with partners. If I were to really talk about some of the complicated learning challenges, at this point, where the next level of maturity gets to is, okay, I'll say it this way. Change management is one of them. And when I say that, that means a lot of different things to different people. To me as a ex, and I'm still a management consultant, the way I'm looking, I wish I had a visual right now, Adam, because the way I'm looking at what we do and what customer education does to fill this whole like work and power companies at even higher and higher levels of scale has to do, you know, more with, okay, now we have to continue to go build scale, build more scale into systems that are already scaling. What does that even mean, right? It means that, okay, now let's go back to the basics. Here's what I'm looking at, and I'm interested in seeing what your worldview is like. I'm in a very large organization. We have I'm gonna get training. Okay, gotta slow down. My brain's going faster. My eyes are closed. Imagine I'm going into Acme. Acme is a really big company. They have a heavy development team. They have IT. They have all this stuff, and they've said, "Hey, we're going to embrace all that is Atlassian for our system of work." That's one of the big things. And if you think about read about that, it's really interesting. I've been in these engagements with companies like Service Rocket, where we went out to companies like this, and the leadership's like, hey, we see the value in this platform, but we don't know how to bring this and get everybody on board to think like we do. And this is like a CEO, or not CEO, but like up-level, high-level C-level management, and then their tiered leadership underneath that, or director level, VP level, that are there to make operational efficiencies and get people working together better. I don't even talk about the nerd stuff. It's for the business you speak. It's how do we work as a team now that we're a big company too? So in that, a lot of the times, we'll go back to the playbook we always run in education and startups. Okay, well, we get in, we have a meeting, we train some people, we train the admin, then we have another thing, we throw training out there, it's on the university, go take it, and we're done. Oh no. Oh no. I mean, that's baby steps. That's when you have a very small company you're working with. But when you're working with an enterprise, then there's all these different motions that go into the experience. And learning is every single step of the way. And if you've ever been in an engagement where you're doing something at scale, like say a 3,000 seat instance of Persona or whatever, and you're really trying to train all these people, now you bring into, like, I can't do all the training myself. I have to enlist partner trainers to do that. They're not on brand. I have to teach them. I am working with adoption champions that are inside the organization. What do they know about our learning programs and what is their system of work and how they approach learning for that company? Like, do you have office hours or do you have like all hands meetings where you do learning? How do you learn? And how do I track? Now you're into a compliance thing, working with L&D people inside a company. That's a connection that we don't often think about in customer ed because it's bringing this posture of, okay, here's all the stuff that's on demand. It's like, no, I'm an L&D person now. I care about having our team have established metrics to know they're using the platform for multiple reasons. What are they? Well, I at a company now want everybody to adopt it because that's my butt on the line when they don't use it, right? We're paying a lot of money for this. Are you still in a spreadsheet? Why? Right? These are real things that happen. Then you've got this internal resistance. Then you have to get, basically it's like, taking what's outside in the world where you were at a SaaS company and trying to educate everybody at scale, now you're also taking a piece of that and now going back inside. And you're doing that whole process again within a much larger environment. So all the motions that you have with them are consultative, partners, how do I get my on-demand stuff? Can I make a little portal that has my LMS content in it? Like TI has, you know, a panorama. And now I'm having individual portals that are way more personalized to that company's unique use cases in nature. And that's so different from what we do at a smaller scale, where we're just outbound customer facing. And now we're bringing into all these other teams, including L&D, enablement, and such. And that's a whole level of maturity that's different.
Experience the power of hands-on learning with CloudShare. Want to build a truly impactful customer education program? Hands-on learning is key, but traditional labs are both expensive and cumbersome. Introducing CloudShare, the cloud-based platform that lets you create secure, scalable training labs in just minutes. Imagine giving your customers, partners, and employees a safe, hands-on environment to learn your software, creating compelling, engaging experiences that wow your users, eliminating the hassle and the cost of managing physical labs. CloudShare empowers you to deploy customized learning environments in just minutes, provide access to the latest software versions and configurations, track progress and gather valuable insights, and even more, collaborate with your students. With CloudShare, your training program goes from ordinary to extraordinary. Check them out today at cloudshare.com.
Yeah. Well, and these are all things that you would find, for instance, in like a learning services org. Some of the things right. that you talked about, like managing a partner network, which brings complexity and brings like another front that you kind of have to push maturity on. Being able to manage large enterprise deployments where you have different stakeholders right. and people at different levels and different centers of excellence, and you have to centralize them and give them what they need to drive activation and usage. Mm-hmm. That's another one. So I definitely hear you on that. I imagine, do we have more time or do we have to wrap
yeah,
up?
Yeah, we do have more time. So keep going.
Okay. I imagine half an hour. There's probably also some other vectors on which you're thinking about maturity, because yeah, you've already, well, and actually, sorry, one that I didn't even mention before was like driving that, needing to make sure that you can implement a large enterprise while also making sure that you have all of these other assets and platforms that scale out to all of the end users, right? If you've just got someone out in the world who wants to learn how to, you know, get good at Jira, or someone who's like an independent right. consultant trying to get a certification to become a Jira admin or something like that. You have to manage all of those fronts from within the same program, which I imagine is both exciting and challenging. Mm-hmm. So I hear those already from you. Now, I imagine that in your role, you're also thinking about maturity along some other lines. So for instance, I'm curious, like when you think about the technology stack,
oh gosh,
when you think
yeah.
about, like, I'm sure you're looking at AI. I'm sure you're looking at different tools. I'm sure you're looking at different platforms. Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, that's a really good point too. And that is all open, right? It's, we're rethinking all of that all the time. We've got what got us here won't get us there, right? Now I know that from a learning perspective, we need to challenge our learning platform to be much more scalable, but scalable in that way of instancing, you know, having different, what do we call that? Multi-tenancy is mm-hmm. a big deal. So you're looking at learning
or
platforms.
Syndication or something like that.
Syndication. Yeah. And both and actually, right? It's, if you have an LMS and I have an LMS and I can syndicate directly to that, that's great. But also, you know, we want to be able to create portals, learning portals for our clients that are unique yep. to them. But then there's all the, you know, sites that you'll have with that too. The platform itself needs to, we need to do a lot more democratization, right? Of using not just AI, but individuals at scale throughout the company who can create content too, to help our teams develop that content further. Right. So now we're looking into things yeah. like our partners Cluso and such, they're able to build, and you know, I always talk Techsmith, what are the products and platforms that we can to help us build that content in a more scalable fashion? We are also talking, you know, we have CMS in addition to an LMS. We're managing our content cycle at a bigger level of scale internally that gets shared with multiple different. So I could create a video, but that video asset goes into a CMS platform and gets spread out and used by other consumers, internal and external.
Yeah. Right? And like the same things that you're building and somehow incorporating into a more structured learning path or like syndicating for a large enterprise client, like maybe even if you're doing a custom version of the same video for them, that's probably also the same core asset that has to be delivered out to YouTube or to social media or something like that. So I imagine that creates like a big asset management.
Tremendous challenge. Asset management.
Yeah. Any tips on how to manage that at scale?
Well, I do think having a CMS, like what I'm talking about is not an LMS, a CMS. You know, for us, we like to think as our LMS is the source of truth, right? Where we put all our content. But now if you are working at that other level of complexity and scale, we're sharing assets at in a different level because we have a team that can take that and embed the content into a platform and something else.
Yeah.
And we have to work with those teams too. So it's a much larger space, but then that cadence or the mechanism of maintaining and developing, it's very well thought of. People are like, hey, if I'm going to maintain this, I've already heard this and it's a really great thing to hear. Yeah. Well, what's our maintenance schedule for this piece of content that we're creating here and how's it going to be applied? Wow. Yeah. I love that. That's such a mature way of thinking about our programming.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to audit content on that basis and then know when it needs to be updated. That's amazing.
Yeah. You talked AI and stuff. Route AI. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
AI is more complicated, I think, right now, because you and I both know that AI is not a panacea. And I think it's a lot more about two factors. One, from a systemic point of view, what can AI do for us that helps us scale our work? And that means accelerating the development cycle, breaking things down quickly. An AI can connect into your documentation portal and stuff and help us, you know, feed that content out to somebody. Our AI tooling should ostensibly within the LMS and outside of that, we have a platform called Rovo, where, I mean, why aren't you pulling content from your learning platform and resurfacing that in this app? You can do that. Those are the kind of things we're thinking about, the integration and then the tooling that we can make us move faster and at more scale, more velocity, right? So those are super important. Less, I don't think we have the expectation that AI is going to just do training for us. And again, that's something I always bring forward and say, hey, LMS vendors and other vendors, don't say this is going to replace people. Because now we're actually able to pivot our team more to spending intentional, thoughtful time going further because it takes less time to build the content, but we're getting more out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that could be its own episode for sure. Rovo, the whole idea of having like an AI powered knowledge graph sounds really interesting, being able to share and repurpose content into the right places. Is that internal or is that also something you're using externally with the customers?
I know you sell it
as a product.
But we use it internally, yeah.
And you're also using it to deliver customer content or just to like store it internally.
I'm gonna misspeak on that. Rovo is more like our ChatGPT, where you can come into our whole ecosystem and Confluence and Jira and basically very quickly ask it questions rather than do a search, right?
Yeah.
So that's how
So that's what I mean. Like it's like a graph-based RAG that you use to like,
yep.
Like
yeah,
it's like, maybe I shouldn't say the name of it because I think you're competing with, can I say it? Glean? Is it like Glean?
Oh, yeah. Well, we compete with a lot more people than that. That's a big space out there for that kind of market of intelligence.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like anchor it in my head, like what it is like.
Yeah, I like to think of, like I'm getting to know these products, but it's more for me, if I'm in my system of work, you know, like I'm looking across my Confluence instances and Jira and Trello and all the different things that I've got, it is the tool that interconnects all that and can pull information out of it for me. So I could see that being for us having that interconnect layer to be able to pull, you know, non-proprietary information, but it's relevant learning material into ultimately the LMS external into these other environments.
That's what I was asking about, like kind of how you're using it to then identify and pull. So it's not necessarily doing the syndication, but like if you have like, because this sounds cool. Like if you have basically like a graph-based RAG that is able to pull from all across Confluence, for instance, or other data that you've let it ingest, that becomes really powerful because I can imagine, especially operating at your size and scale, you have tons of information sitting out there in Confluence and in various sources. And at some point, like no matter how well organized your instance is, discoverability is going to become an issue. And not to mention like how much time are you spending on discoverability and organization and hygiene when actually like a very well powered search is probably how most people are going to prefer to find information anyway than like remembering how to navigate through a complicated, you know, essentially like folder structure.
That's right. Yeah. That's cool. It's really, and you're seeing a lot of that across the industry. And how does that work with education? Well, the other flip side of it is, how do we have AI get to more personal content, right? How can I feed, recommend things that you should be looking at or you could look at to help you, you know, getting that extra lift where I don't necessarily have to consciously, as an instructional person, think about that path. You're allowing learning to actually take its own nature and connect even deeper to the knowledge that you have access to, but we wouldn't build something for directly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Fair. We're almost at the hour mark, so I'm gonna ask you one more question, and then we can talk about anything else that we haven't really talked about yet. But like another area that I think Atlassian, specifically on the community side, was a pioneer in, was really setting up the Atlassian User Group program and this idea of building distributed communities where users from, you know, around the globe felt really empowered to set up their own groups, come together in an organic way, and of course get, like, you know, support from Atlassian. So I'm curious, when you think about the user group program and events and things like that, like what are you looking into there, if you can tell me?
I'm just starting to really get involved in that, but I like you, I think this is a really important part of the organization, particularly at this level, because now I know what I'm looking at is, how do we identify individuals who are champions, who are, you know, knowledge thought leaders, right? And how do we get them to talk to each other, right? So I'm seeing a lot of that motion of having really good community events, doing more live stuff, doing roadshow stuff, getting those people out in front and center, elevating them up to talk and to share what they know. So that's a huge play here. And one thing I can say towards that I think is really exciting is that we are working to develop and help nurture even, this is another angle of community, but nurture like a community creators program where, okay, imagine you're an influencer, you are, and you use Atlassian every day, right? And you are doing some really novel things, but you're now a TikTok person or you're a YouTube person. And then helping bring structure to that, that helps close the loop. Like I think of social and community as that other feedback layer that completes the loop. Because it's not about us. It's about the art of the possible, as you say, where it's in the hearts and the heads of the people that are using this platform every day. And they go, I got this. I want to share this with the world. Bringing that back into these smaller user groups and then bringing that back out to the rest of our whole entire ecosystem to spotlight and grow that is, I think, that next layer of maturity where you have individuals leading, you have individuals training, you have not even just training partners training, but you, Adam, could become a certified trainer or Atlassian and then use that to do your own business. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of, the community is definitely at the root of all of this and is so important. And that's why I'm so appreciative to be in a team that actually is inclusive of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like alone. Now we can go back and forth with learning, and learning is everywhere.
No, it's fantastic to see that you're connected in that way. And I think, again, like it comes back to something that we talked about, again, at the very beginning of this episode, which is like you come into a new organization and you kind of want to think like, based on our product, based on our business model, who are we like, or what are we like? And what I'm thinking about as you've walked through this today is you're sort of between, on one hand, something like Salesforce, where entire jobs, consultancies, partner networks, and careers can be created based on the complexity and depth by which, like a really proper, well-formulated, sophisticated setup can drive, right? Like I could set up an entire business, and people obviously have set up very successful businesses being Atlassian partners. And similarly, I could go out into the market right now and I could build a career as an Atlassian consultant, and I can earn my credentials. Yeah. I can participate in the community with other people who are doing that. So you're kind of on one hand there. So I would compare that to like a Salesforce or a HubSpot, depending on what segment you want to be in. And on the other hand, like being like something like a Slack or a Notion or a company like that, where you have a product that is very generative, or a suite of products that are very generative, creative, they're blank slates, they touch a lot of end users, they're horizontal. And while like the average CRM end user isn't necessarily going to be passionate about like building trainings on YouTube about how to, be better at using your internal B2B CRM, with other products like this, like people do tend to get a lot more passionate about doing that. So you have a whole community,
right?
And the potential to create user-generated content, or to nurture user-generated content in the scalable way. So I love the landscape that you have to play with here, that kind of exists within that range. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you and your team do next.
Yeah, and thanks. And again, thanks to you. Thanks to Erica. Thanks to everybody that's supportive. I'm using this as like, you will hear a lot about, actually, here's what I'm challenging our audience to do. We really always want to be learning. I definitely want to learn. We'll be at a big event. We can talk about SEDMA. Couple months.
Mm-hmm.
You're time traveling. Well, it's 2005 March. 25. God, don't lose 20 years there.
I'm really looking forward to listening to that new Arcade Fire album. That's what a hip new band that I just heard about.
Oh my God. But I guess the call to action here is I really transparently wanted to share the journey and how do we get to these places. I would love to hear from more of you out there that are in these large organizations, doing the good work of customer education. What does it look like? How's it mapped to your environment? Where do we go next? How do we go take that next level of our journey? And to close it off is, I'm so happy to be part of a really passionate team. Who, Adam, I don't think I even shared this yet in this podcast, is that the thing that I found so welcoming is that everybody knew us, right? They'll say hello, Adam, and
hello.
They've what I think that we via C-Lab and our community via C-Lab has done for all of our, all of our network, is that we've found each other and that we've been heard. And customer education is a very clear thing, starting with your book, Daniel's book. We've got a lot of content out there and it's coming together and people get it. So we found the others. Go next. Where
we're
going next.
And we still are. Like even when you say that, I'm constantly surprised by the number of people that I'll run into who are like still in 2025, 2005, whatever year it is, they come and they say, like, hey, like I've been doing this job. I didn't realize that this is a thing called customer education and there's a network of people to do it. It happens slightly less than it used to, like 10 years ago or whenever, even before we had the podcast, but like it still happens all the time. So, and I think to your point, there are a lot of people who have built their entire careers working in customer education at the same company. They know what it looks like from within that company. They're probably doing things at an incredibly high level, but they're not tapped into the network. And so I would love, to your point, I would love someone from one of those larger companies to come talk to us about what it looks like to really have like built this stuff up from, through maturity within a larger organization. So
definitely.
Customer education people at big companies, talk to us, challenge.
Yep. All right. I think that's a good seg. Do you have any other questions or is there anything else we want to talk about before we close up the episode?
Yeah, an important one. If our listeners want to learn more, where is our podcast website?
https://customer.education. Just customer.education.
customer.education. And if they want to join our community, where should they go?
Oh gosh, we haven't been there yesterday. Customereducation.community. Really easy.
Okay.
And we should bring that back up again. That we have a lot of communities and ours is a little different. And so we'll make a post about it.
We'll make a post about it. And who should we thank for our theme music that's probably playing right now?
Oh, the incredible, talented Mr. Alan Coda. Thank you so much for amazing theme music. We should get a refresh from him soon for some new stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. If this helps you out, I'm not going to ask this one as a question because we're running out of time. Please subscribe to us wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you review podcasts, especially if that is Apple Podcasts or I think Spotify now, you can review as well. But the thing that helps us, I think, the most these days is if this resonates with you or if you had another episode that resonates with you, post about it on LinkedIn. Tell your friends about what you learned. And we read those too if you tag us in them. And we want to know what you're learning from the podcast and what you're reflecting on. And as always, to our audience, thanks for joining us. Go out and educate, experiment, and what else, Dave?
Find your people.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.